perfect. Bang on my chest if you think I'm perfect.
Go ahead, bang on it.
No heart?
You gotta have heart. Miles and miles of heart.
This is Patchwork Heart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Breadbox Media. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Thanks, Adam, and welcome to the program, everybody. I am Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond. And thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our ministry. We're so excited that you've tuned in today, no matter how you're listening, whether you're listening out there in West Virginia, in the mountains of West Virginia. I hear it's almost heaven out there. And you can also find us on Breadbox Media. So if you found us there, please share it with a friend. We love when you share our ministry and our program with a friend. And on today's program, we're continuing our conversation from last week with Martha Fernandez Sardina. She is a bilingual, international, new evangelization speaker, trainer, radio and TV host, writer, outreach developer, and consultant. She's also served as a two-time Archdiocesan Director for Evangelization and is the founders and president of RememberYourLove.com, and her website is MarthaFernandezSardina.com. So, Martha, welcome to the program. It's always great to have you, and thanks for being on two consecutive weeks here.
Thank you. It's always great to be back. I'd be on your show every week if we needed it.
Awesome. Well, you know, it really truly is such an action-packed time in the church. We just finished up Holy Week, and if you were listening to last week's program, or if you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's program, go find it back on the podcast feeds and listen to it. But yeah, we were talking all about Holy Week last week, and now it really changes gear. We're celebrating Christ's resurrection and also His divine mercy, because it is we're approaching Divine Mercy Sunday, and I want to talk about the connection between the events of Easter and last week to the connection of this week, which is Divine Mercy and that focus. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yes, as you mentioned, we're already underway. The novena, the Divine Mercy novena, is underway in preparation for the second Sunday of Easter, or Divine Mercy Sunday, which is a feast that St. John Paul II instituted at the bequest of our Lord Jesus Christ through St. Faustina. But let's go back a bit, and then we'll go forward. Why? Why mercy? Why celebrate this? What's the big deal? Well, the question I think that we could ask ourselves is, why did God create all the things He created? And the epitome of His creation is the human person. Male and female, He created them. In His own image and likeness did He create us. Why did God create us, Bill? Because God is love. God is a communion of persons. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and that love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. That has been poured in, or who I should say, the Holy Spirit, a person, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, as we say in the Creed, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. That Holy Spirit, that love of God has been poured into our hearts, St. Paul says in Romans, has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So why do we celebrate Divine Mercy, and what's the connection with the Paschal Mystery that we've just celebrated with the Easter Triduum, Holy Thursday through Easter, on Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday? What's the connection? That God so, my scriptures say, at least in my head, so loved the world, John 3:16, that God so loved the world, you and me and every human being, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him may not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see that Jesus is given to us by the Father at the crib, in the cup, and on the cross. We celebrate it, right, Bill? When He comes to us in the crib at Christmas, God is given to us as a human being, divine and human. He gives Himself to us in the cup, in the chalice, in the covenant, His body and blood, soul and divinity, which we celebrated, the institution of which, I should say, we celebrated on Holy Thursday. He gave Himself to us and for us on the cross, which we celebrated or commemorated on Good Friday, and He opened wide for us the fount of mercy, which is actually part of the prayers that we say, right, in the chaplet of Divine Mercy, that His side was pierced and blood and water flowed And with it, it's a symbol of the sacraments of the church, the mercy of God being poured out onto the world. Why again? Why? Because God created us to live in that communion of love that God is, so that we might live with him here on earth, enjoying a knowledge of God, knowing God, loving God, serving God, and live with him for all eternity. So why divine mercy, Bill? Because God is love, and mercy is his second name, said St. John Paul II.
Beautiful. It really is beautiful how you mentioned that, love and mercy. And the one thing I want to ask you a little bit about is, we talk about divine mercy, you talk about the chaplet in there just a little bit. And how about the origins of divine mercy? Where did it flow from? Where did it come from? And why is it, why is it such a great thing for the church today?
Yes, well, mercy begins with God. Mercy actually is an attribute of God. He is rich in mercy, St. Paul tells us, again, in the letter to the Romans. And in fact, that is the title of an encyclical letter that St. John Paul II, wrote in 1980, Divus in Misericordia. Divus in Misericordia, God is rich in mercy. By the way, let me mention here just a little chronology. Pope Francis speaks a lot about mercy. He instituted the Year of Mercy at the end of 2015 through 2016. He wrote in preparation for that in 2014 the letter Miserando as fue eligiendo, and having mercied me, he called me, or something to that effect, having looked at me with mercy. It's a reference to the call of Levi or Matthew, which is, by the way, quite significant, he says, in his own call to the priesthood. And then at the close of the Year of Mercy, Pope Francis wrote Misericordia et Misera, about the mercy of God and the misery of man. But prior to Pope Francis, lest anyone be confused as if this is a new thing for the church, mercy was very well developed in the pontificate, the very long and fruitful pontificate and legacy of St. John Paul II. And he said, and this is connected to your question about where did this come from. The devotion came through St. Faustina, the Polish nun that he canonized, but mercy goes back to God. And that's why he says that mercy is an attribute of God. In fact, it's almost the second name of love, and God is love, right? So St. John Paul II said that the divine mercy of God and the devotion of this Polish nun, St. Faustina, who lived in the 30s, and developed or received from the Lord these revelations about his divine mercy between 1931 and 1938, he says that it really shaped his not only his priesthood and his personal spiritual life, but his pontificate. He said, it has formed my pontificate, which began in 1978. 2 years later, he promulgates the encyclical Rich in Mercy, Divus in Misericordia, in 1980. And then we see that a few years later, 20 years later, he canonizes St. Faustina, and he called it the happiest day of my life. Why? Because he is exalting not just this model, this apostle of mercy, but the whole devotion, the revelation of Jesus Christ that we have through sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium, freshly, newly presented to us through these revelations that Jesus gave St. Faustina. And so in 2000, he canonizes her and institutes in 2000 the Feast of Divine Mercy, which we're about to celebrate. And then we see that in 2002, he actually consecrated, John Paul II, consecrated the entire world to the divine mercy of God. And last but not least, Bill, isn't this something, in our previous show, we talked about how God puts in these little cues and clues and elements in the whole universe of salvation, which point to something else. Look at this beautiful delicacy on the part of God. John Paul II, great Pope of Mercy, died just as the Feast of Mercy was beginning on the eve on Saturday night. Sunday always begins on Saturday night, on April 2nd of 2005, on the Feast of Divine Mercy. So he was rewarded for promulgating this devotion. So where does divine mercy begin? It begins in the heart of God. Where is divine mercy exemplified and exercised toward mankind? Throughout all of salvation history. In the Old Testament, we see it, and then we see it epitomized in the New Testament Testament when Jesus comes as mercy incarnate. Where is the new, renewed understanding of this divine mercy taught us through the divine mercy devotion that Saint Faustina of Kowalska received through Jesus Christ, which you find in her diary, the diary of Saint Faustina, and in the devotion, which has five elements to it, and then I'll add a couple more that we can discuss.
Wonderful. Fantastic stuff. So, yeah, we just have a few minutes here before the break, Martha, so just about 2 or 3 minutes here. So let's talk about, if you want to tease the five different keys before the break here, and then we can delve into them right afterward.
Sure. I was saying that mercy is an attribute of God, and it's even the second name of love. When you love someone, you are willing to go to extremes for them, and God is willing to go to the extreme of an exercise of love, as we see in John 13. He loved those who were his own, and he loved them to the end, to the extreme. He gave his own self as our atonement, in atonement for our sins, as the expiatory offering to God, as the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. And so that we see there in the sacrifice of Christ, that he takes his love to an extreme, and boy, do we need it, because we have commandments to follow. We have a way of life to follow. We are called to live the Beatitudes, or the attitudes by which we can be like Christ. We can be that image and likeness of God that we were created to be. But when we fall short of the glory of God, and we all fall short of the glory of God, we need the mercy of God to make up for it. Now, justice is also an attribute of God. We owe God our reverence. We owe God our love. We owe God our obedience. We owe God to respond, to correspond to his love and mercy. And when we fall short, sometimes God's justice is revealed to us in his mercy. In other words, when he could strike us, when he could hold us accountable, when he should, in fact, I tell him all the time, Bill, thank God I'm not you. Thank God I'm not God, because I would strike even myself. I would not be so merciful. But the mercy of God sometimes almost supersedes, in a certain sense. You know, in Divus in Misericordia, the encyclical of John Paul II, Rich in Mercy, he repeats the phrase, in a certain sense, numerous times. In a certain sense, God's justice is superseded by his mercy. Now, I just want to say this before we go to break. Don't be playing around with sin. Don't be playing around with fire. You will get burnt. And if you start enjoying the burning, you might actually die in a fire. You might die eternally. You and I might burn our souls forever and ever if we play around with fire. We have to be careful not to say, oh, God is so merciful, and fall into the sin, the serious, grave sin of presumption, which is presuming that God will have mercy on me and not be just, and therefore I can do whatever I want. So there's a beautiful interplay, and Pope John Paul II talked about it, as well as Pope Francis.
No, it's so beautiful. There is so much to unpack in the divine mercy, culture and lifestyle that we can live. And I want to talk about that with you as well when we come back from the break, Martha, because when we come back, I want to talk with you about, you know, what are the things we do to participate in divine mercy? How do we take an active role in it? Because I think it's such an important thing for young people to know how to do it. And in addition to that, you know, as you said, not to presume that I get to do whatever I want. God will just forgive me for it. Yes, that's, you know, partly true, but it's also, you know, as you said, playing with fire is dangerous. So let's not do that. We have to take that short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Martha Fernandez-Sardina. I'm Bill Snyder, right back after these messages. This is Young Catholics Respond.
Patchwork Heart Ministry is committed to sowing hope into broken hearts by helping young people encounter the love of Jesus Christ and his Catholic Church through prayer, storytelling, and media initiatives. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission financially. Mail your tax-deductible donation to Patchwork Heart Ministry at P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, zip code 53147, or visit patchworkheart.org to donate online. That's Patchwork Heart Ministry, P.O. Box 563, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 53147, or online at patchworkheart.org.
Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered, How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today.
Your heart is always beating, but you never have to think about it.
Welcome back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Welcome back, everybody, to this episode of Young Catholics Respond. I'm Bill Snyder. Today, my guest is Martha Fernandez Sardina, and we are talking about Divine Mercy and Divine Mercy Sunday as it's approaching here quickly. And I kind of want to open up with the different core points about Divine Mercy. Right? There's four or five different points about Divine Mercy that are really important to understand. Right, Martha?
Yes, depending on the list that you look at, there's the four main elements, but then, you know, there's two, three that are very much related to them. So let's get into them, and this is it. This was revealed again by our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful face of the Father, to Saint Faustina of Kowalska in Poland in the 1930s. The image, the chaplet, the novena, and the feast, and along with those go the hour, the plenary indulgence, and the sacraments of confession and Eucharist, as well as the works of mercy and the mercy mindset. So let's take a look quickly. Along with the revelations that are found in the diary of St. Faustina, the Lord also asked her to have an image of him as Divine Mercy commissioned. And though it was not to her liking, because what the beautiful, glorious, extravagant Lord that she was seeing with her own eyes and heart and mind was not what the painter did, but whatever, the beauty of what she saw, we have an image that has been portrayed. And by the way, there's two different images that you see around there, one which was promulgated and is one I most became familiar with, and then another one that has been uncovered, and you can look up, there's even a documentary came out a few years ago about the image, the original image that most resembled what St. Faustina was saying. But in either case, you see that Jesus, the high priest, has rays of light and blood, white and red, coming out of his heart, which is a reference to that pierced side of Jesus that we spoke about in the last episode for Holy Week, and from which flow the graces of his mercy and his love through the sacramental life of the Church. So the Lord promised that those who venerate him in that image will receive graces in life and at the hour of death. So that's one of the primary elements that the Divine Mercy devotion includes. Then there's also the chaplet of Divine Mercy. Our Lord asked St. Faustina that we pray at the hour of mercy and at the bedside of those who are sick and dying, and by those and for those who have died, and even for our own souls throughout our life, the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And he revealed to her the prayers, and you can find those online, and it's calling upon the Father, asking the Father to forgive our sins and the sins of the whole world in light of the death, and in resurrection of our Lord for the sake of his sorrowful passion, so that his sorrowful, very sorrowful passion and death, crucifixion and death, may not go to waste. Lavish the world with that mercy that was won by one Jesus Christ, one Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that is the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And the Lord says that if even once someone prays that throughout their lifetime, he will have great mercy at the hour of their death, if especially someone who is dying. So that's something we should be praying even for ourselves. I mentioned the hour of mercy, which is one of the elements, the 3 o'clock hour. Traditionally, we have the church has always believed, and from the eyewitnesses themselves, that the Lord expired, that he gave his spirit into the hands of his Father and breathed his last at 3 o'clock. And so that has become known as the hour of mercy. And so at that hour, heaven was opened for us through the death of our Lord. And so at that hour, he told St. Faustina to stop and minimally recall his passion and death and the new life he offers us, but whenever possible to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet and to make the Stations of the Cross. So I'm sure that St. Faustina did it, and I know that many, many thousands, millions of people around the world do that at the 3 o'clock hour. And that's a special hour of grace. And then, Bill, I haven't touched on the Novena and the Feast yet quite. So we're in the Novena, which asked St. Faustina to begin on Good Friday and to pray for 9 days in preparation for the other great part of this devotion, which is the Feast of Mercy. So during the Novena, our Lord revealed to St. Faustina specific groups of people or intentions for each day, and they include people who have no faith, people who do not know Christ but belong to another faith tradition. It includes people who have left the Catholic faith. It includes souls in purgatory. It includes priests and religious and those consecrated to him. It includes the little ones, the souls of children and the vulnerable and so forth. So look that up, and if you haven't started the Novena, it's never too late to start a Novena. Just jump right in and catch yourself up. And it's a Novena that can be prayed also throughout the year. And the feast day, Bill, the Feast of Divine Mercy instituted by Pope John Paul II, as we said, at the bequest of our Lord to St. Faustina, is that second Sunday of Easter. In other words, completing the octave. Now, we're not going to talk about it today, but the octave is very, very rich. The eighth day is like the day of the new beginning. So on the Divine Mercy, we are offered a new beginning, which brings us to the plenary indulgence, which you like so much, Bill. What happens with that plenary indulgence?
Well, you know, it's the get out of purgatory and hell free card, actually. It's an opportunity to wipe yourself clean of each and every sin and stain of sin that that is completely a part of you on Divine Mercy Sunday. If you meet the conditions, you know, set forth by the Church, of course, you have to have these certain conditions, which are confession, the Eucharist, prayers for the Pope, and then also doing the Novena. And from that, you also have to, you know, make sure that you have been unattached to sin, right? So you can't just mm-hmm. be constantly running into sinful behavior or sinful situations. And when you're detached from that, and you pray with an earnest heart around these days, then what happens is you get that total, complete soul washing. It's completely washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, and then should you die in that state, you go right to heaven. You don't have to stop in purgatory, and you certainly aren't going to hell at that point. So it's a
absolutely.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's just an incredible gift that's been given to us. It's this you know, super empowered grace that is given to us when we recite the chaplet, when we do the chaplet. So yeah, that Novena that we talked about, doing that Novena for the 9 days. It begins on Good Friday, but as you said, if you missed it or, you know, whatever, just jump right in and start doing it. And again, it's confession 8 days before the feast or 8 days after the feast.
And you know what, Bill? Actually, 20 days. The church has granted leniency in that regard because sometimes it's hard to get to a priest during confession. So actually, it is now the new norms allow for within about 20 days before or after.
That's beautiful.
But don't put it off because you might sometimes, oh, I have a lot of time, and then you might run out of time. So you don't want to miss out on that grace. But you said it very well. In general, plenary indulgences require sacramental confession, Eucharistic communion, preferably on the same day or the days before or after. But being Sunday, we should be receiving communion anyway, prayer for the intentions of the Pope, the Supreme Pontiff, and the veneration, best part of the feast. Now, going back a step there, the feast day, public veneration of the image, and normally when you have these celebrations of Divine Mercy in different parishes and or dioceses. Maybe there's one place in a diocese or maybe more than one. A lot of times, I know when I was living in San Antonio, there were three or four or five, and in the Washington, D.C. area as well, there's more than one place to go. There's a recitation together of the Divine Mercy Chaplet and other meditations. And of course, we do want to emphasize the one you emphasize, which is important. Detachment from sin, a hatred of sin. You can't have these little secret sins that I kind of like a lot. Okay, I'll confess them, but I really like them. No, if you will not receive a plenary indulgence, meaning the Lord cannot wipe all the temporal punishment due to sin from your soul if you have an attachment, a desire, a love for sin. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, well, that's a tall order because I'm not a saint yet. Well, yes and no. You're not quite yet. You are, but not yet. We are always in need of reform, of renewal, of repentance, of change, of conversion, of growth, and maturity. But you've been set aside. I've been set aside at baptism. So we are already saints. We've already been sanctified. We just need to continue to be washed clean, as you said so well, Bill. And you know what? This special Divine Mercy plenary indulgence has been, by some theologians and Divine Mercy experts, it's been compared to a sort of like a new baptism. So the state of our soul should be, Bill, as clean as that of a recently baptized baby or adult. Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's amazing. That truly is amazing. Martha, I want to ask you in the last closing minutes of the interview, as these things fly right on by, just to talk with a little about your ministry and what you're doing and where people can find you. I know that you're always got a couple different websites out there. Rememberyourlove.com, which is awesome. And then, of course, your website, MarthaFernandezSardina.com. But just tell us a little bit about what you're doing these days, your ministry, and how people can find you.
Yes, people can find me at MarthaFernandezSardina.com and also at RememberYouAreLoved.com, which currently will redirect them to my Facebook page. I'm available for talks, parish missions, parish outreach, love messaging, podcast media, interviews, all kinds of things, and consultation. I am an evangelist at heart through and through. That's where the Lord uses me the most. And to tie it in with the Divine Mercy message of the gospel, you know that we have the spiritual works of mercy, and we also have the corporal works of mercy. I am especially engaged in helping you carry out the spiritual works of mercy to instruct the ignorant, people who are ignorant of the faith of Christ, of the church, to counsel the doubtful. So many people doubt that they are loved, that they are precious, that God loves them, to admonish sinners, to bring people back to the state of original holiness that the Lord created or gave us through baptism, to bear patiently with the wrongs of others in this day and age in which we're bickering and fighting, competing. I help people wade through the waters. And of course, the other works of mercy as well, to forgive offenses, to comfort the afflicted, to pray for the living and the dead, and to be lovers of all that God is a lover of. So you can find me at MarthaFernandezSardina.com, RememberYouAreLoved.com, Facebook, Twitter, and all alike, and on podcasts and radio shows and TV shows like all of these. So thank you for the opportunity again, Bill, and I hope to be on again.
Absolutely. We'll have you back for sure. So thanks so much, Martha, for being here. And again, check out the website, MarthaFernandezSardina.com. And thank you so much, Martha, again, for being here. I'm Bill Snyder. This is Young Catholics Respond. Until next time, keep beating to your Catholic heart.
You've been listening to Young Catholics Respond, a radio initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry. To learn more about our ministry and program, visit us at patchworkheart.org Or, to get exclusive access and early ministry updates, become our patron on Patreon by searching for Patchwork Heart Ministry.